Welcome back, Smart First Responder community, to a mini-series created during the Phase 4 of the First Challenge hosted at the Muscatatuck Urban Training Center. The first competition focus is to produce marketable prototypes that demonstrate indoor localization tracking and tracking of first responders within 1 meter accuracy without any pre-deployed infrastructure. In this mini-series, you will hear from many of the entrepreneurs, first responders, and team members involved that address the challenges and opportunities of Z-axis tracking from multiple perspectives around scalability, usability, affordability, and more. This challenge is administered by the Indiana University Crisis Technologies Innovation Lab and funded by the NIST Public Safety Communications Research PSCR Division. Enjoy this deep dive into Z-axis tracking, keep innovating, and let us know what you think. All right, we are at the Muscatatuck Training Ground alongside Chris Moon, firefighter from Columbus. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing quite well. So paint a picture. What's been going on here today?
We've been doing some testing for different teams on tracking systems to track first responders in different situations. And today we're replicating a structure fire in a residential home.
And so you've been going into these different, you know, this is a structure we're looking at. I think it's called the presidential or the governor's mansion. The governor's mansion. And then there's also another burn tower over there. And so you've been equipped with different technologies and then sort of then walking in. So like, what have you been doing when you were actually in the actual exercise?
We've been running through not an obstacle course, but just a trail more or less. And there's different checkpoints along the way. And sometimes we're standing, sometimes we're crawling, sometimes we're walking, going up and down stairs, just different things that you would do if you're trying to make entry into a structure.
So then you as a firefighter, this technology that you've had, obviously you've been part of this exercise and you see them sort of giving it to you, but what's been your kind of thoughts on the tech that has been put on you? I mean, is it stuff that you notice it's on you or some are more noticeable than others?
We've had a lot of good teams that have came through, and I've been really impressed. Overall, I think what they're doing is a really great thing, and they've had a lot of great ideas. There's been a couple that have been a little bit awkward, but then there's been a couple that I didn't even know was on me. And so I think, and they're all prototypes as well, so some of the teams have expressed to me that they're planning to shrink them down and everything. So I think all these teams are on the right track, and yeah, we've seen a lot of good ideas come through.
And with this whole idea of Z-axis tracking or just technology in general for public safety. I mean, I'm looking again at your gear, you're wearing PPE, you got the light, you got the SCBA, you got the helmet. What are your thoughts? What would you say to sort of entrepreneurs that are trying to develop new technologies and bring new innovations into public safety?
I think there's never been a time like the present to push the new ideas, and because I think the fire service is changing a lot. And I've noticed just in the last few years that there has been a lot of new technology, a lot of new ideas that have came forth that you never would have thought, you know, a few years ago that you'd be using them. And now everybody's got one. And so I think it's a great time. If you've got an idea, then I think it's a great time to go for it.
And then as far as like the form factor, and you mentioned some you didn't even really notice. And obviously some tech is, so you're wearing your PPE, so you notice it. But for new tech, I mean, what are your thoughts on what actually works when you're talking about something that a firefighter would actually use in the next 6 to 24 months? What do you think are some of the most important design considerations for people to consider?
As far as tracking systems or just anything?
Tracking and in general.
In general, it needs to be sleek, and you need to be able to have mobility when you got it on. If you have something, the new way of doing search and the new way that we're moving around in there involves a lot of flexibility, a lot of mobility. If something restricts your movement, it's going to be a major hindrance. So if it's something that's light, sleek, something that you can move around with it on, I think you'd be successful.
Yeah. And as far as like this technology in general, is the Z-axis tracking, why does this technology excite you? And why is it important that is something that is eventually implemented wide scale across the fire service?
It's every firefighter's worst fear, I think anyways, that to either go down somewhere where nobody can find you or for one of your brothers or sisters to go down and you can't find them. And it's something that's always in the back of my mind, especially going into a residence or just sitting around and thinking about scenarios that could or might happen. And if you had a tracking capabilities that could put you within 10 feet, 5 or 10 feet, you know, if you can get within 5 or 10 feet of somebody, you can find them. And so, you know, getting separated from your crew, getting turned around in a large warehouse building. You know, we're having warehouses around us go up all the time. And there's been a couple big warehouse fires in recent history, and it would help a lot to have a tracking system on somebody where you could figure out where they're at, because you get in the middle of a warehouse, you know, it could take a whole bottle just to find somebody, and then you're going to be stuck right there with them. So the faster you can get to somebody, the faster you can get them out. Or if the shoe's on the other foot, the faster somebody can get to you, the faster that they can get you out.
Yeah, no, well said. I mean, it's something that we've been hearing about, this Holy Grail concept of being able to find people. Mm-hmm. And I've been asking this to some entrepreneurs, but I guess kind of on your side too. I mean, why do you think this hasn't been solved yet? I mean, this is like, it's something that you would think it is one of our biggest fears, but then it's still kind of maybe blows me away that it hasn't yet. And I know it's a difficult problem, but in your opinion, why is it still something that isn't as mainstream as a flashlight?
I think it's a very challenging problem. It's gonna take some very smart people to get something lined out that is effective, easy to use, that's priced to buy. And another thing, whenever you're dealing with fire departments, I mean, tradition holds strong in fire departments, I believe. And whenever you're trying to break something new in, up until the last few years, it's been hard to change. I mean, look at the fire hydrant. It hasn't changed in years and years and years. And I'm sure there's probably a better way you could do it. But cost and changing things is huge in the fire department. And so...
And what would you say to other firefighters or first responders that, you know, maybe have been reluctant to change or reluctant to adopting best practices? And I know change, of course, is hard. I mean, it's hard for anyone, me in particular, too. But what would you say to first responders that are maybe reluctant to change or kind of a little, you know, apprehensive with the idea of adopting something new, especially from a technology perspective?
I'll say that not all change is good, but if it is good, then you got to move with it. If you can get something that you can afford that can really make your crew safer or make the victim safer, make a big difference, then you've got to go with it. I mean, with the new technology and stuff that's coming out, there's no reason that we should be stuck in the Stone Age. With that being said, I don't think we have to jump on every fad that comes along. But if something's proven and affordable and easy to use, well, we got to go with it. We got to make the changes necessary, because building construction's changing, cars are changing, rescues are changing. But so the fire department is going to have to change with them. The fire service is going to have to change with it.
Man, well said. That was the mic drop without even me asking you the mic drop. That was almost gave me the chills, because yeah, we can't just adopt everything just because of the shiny new toy. But mm-hmm. And that's part of the whole point of this NIST program. We're putting stuff for the ringer. I mean, you have teams that are really pushing their technologies to the limit, mm-hmm. and we are testing it to show and make sure that the technology is doing what it says it's doing. And then getting more critical mass to show, hey, this is not just a guy in the basement with duct tape and you know, a good sales pitch. Mm-hmm. This is technology that's been tested and proven, and right. It's worth considering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to work in the worst conditions. If it's not going to work in the worst conditions, then it's no good, because if the conditions aren't that bad, then you can find them without the technology.
Yeah, and one thing I've heard a lot about today is this idea of the outlier, just those kind of the worst, two worst case scenarios, one of a million things happen at the same time, mm-hmm. which is always one of the biggest fears within the role of a firefighter. I mean, what would you say, or what are your thoughts on just that, the unknown? I mean, those that risk, and obviously you have to continue to train to be prepared for everything. But for those maybe not within the fire service, or those kind of thinking about how to support the fire service, just what's your thinking process, or how do you approach the outlier and the unknown?
You got to trust your crew that you're with, train to the best of your abilities, stick to your guidelines, the things, because there are things that are time tested. They've worked for the men and women in the past, and they'll continue to work for us today, and add in the new technology that can help us out along the way. And you've got to train hard, train like you fight. And so if you train like you fight, then whenever you get in that bad situation, you'll be able to get your way out, or be able to rely on your crew to help you out.
Good deal. Well, Chris, thank you very much for everything you do. Appreciate your service, and look forward to staying in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast today. If you enjoyed what you heard and got any value, please drop us a rating, leave us a comment, or reach out to us on social media. Have a great day, and together we can advance the future of smart firefighting.